Today I want to talk about the pursuit of happiness. In our world today, we tend to think that our circumstances will make us happy. How many have ever said, are you happy? Are you truly happy to someone else? Or they've said it to you. They said, are you happy? And you go, yeah, I'm happy. Well, what does that mean? Or no, I'm not happy. Maybe it was circumstances financially. Maybe it was relationships, whatever it was. You just weren't happy. And in our world today, we tend to think that happiness and contentment are one way when they're actually another. In a culture where many are focused on what they don't have, God calls us to focus on spiritual provision. Now, it sounds all fancy, spiritual provision, but what does it mean? Well, what is happiness? What truly is happiness? Well, happiness is this. The world thinks that it's good fortune. As long as I have money, I'll be happy. And when things go my way, I'll be truly happy. How many feel that when things are going your way, you're like, yes, things are finally going my way today. Thank you, Lord. You have blessed me. How many in the church use, oh, I'm so blessed because financially I'm doing well and things are going my way. Let me see some hands. Come on. You know it. You've been there. I've been there. If things are well, I'm like, yeah, good fortune. I'm happy. God has blessed me because things are going my way. Well, the biblical view of that is true happiness is never found in our external circumstances. Too many times in life, we look at what's happening to us. But true happiness is a byproduct of seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Now, that sounds very religious. It sounds super difficult, actually, if I seek his kingdom. Well, what is his kingdom? Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. But true happiness is about the byproduct of seeking God. Really, if we boil it down, it's seeking God. What is contentment? If we're happy, then we should be content. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, man, I am so content with things right now? When we hear contentment, we think that it's laziness, right? We think I'm content, so I'm not moving forward. I don't need to move forward. I don't need to look to the future because I'm content with how things are. And usually that is your financial situation, your relationship situation, all that. So what does the world think? Well, the world thinks it's good fortune. The world believes that I can be content if I have good fortune, if I have money, if I have, not, you don't have to be wealthy, but you just have to have something. The difference here is that your mind is at ease. I don't have to worry, so I'm content. Well, sometimes worry can be an okay thing, just like fear. Fear in its wrong spot can be bad, and worry in the wrong spot. When we're talking about worry, we're talking about, are we worried about God providing for us? Are we worried about finances, all that? But when my mind is at ease and I have money, I'm content. And if my mind is at ease and I have money and I'm content, then I'm also happy. Because I don't have to worry about things. Well, that's not the way the Bible looks at contentment. The biblical view is, contrary to many people's opinion, is it does not mean that being satisfied with where you are. So it's not that you don't want to move forward. It's not that you don't want to do well. It's not that you don't want to be successful. It's about what's inside. It's a heart issue, okay? It's knowing God's plan for your life. How do you do that? Will you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Having that life, that God's plan for your life, having a conviction to live it. And when we seek conviction, we mean you have to do it. Not necessarily you want to, because sometimes when God asks you to do hard things, you don't want to do it. But you have to. You have to live what God has asked you to do. And this is what happens sometimes with our biblical view of happiness and contentment when people are called to the ministry. They feel like, well, you have to be a professional pastor or you have to be a missionary to be content, to live in God's will, because God only wants everyone to be out there being pastors and missionaries. Well, you can be missionaries wherever you are and you can be happy. If you're seeking his kingdom and you're putting him first, and you're doing what he's asked you to do, you will believe that God's peace is greater than the world's problems. No matter what's happening in the world, as bad as it may be, you believe that he's got things under control. His peace is more important. So you are focused. So you can be anything you want to be. Anything you want to be. And be happy and content, true contentment, because you're working forward, but you're doing it because God has placed you there. Now, you say to me, what happens if in my life I don't like my job? Well, there's a couple things you need to do about it. You need to pray about it. You need to ask God, am I supposed to be here? Why don't we do that more often? Why don't we ask God, am I supposed to work here? Am I supposed to be here? Where am I supposed to be? Because sometimes we're afraid of the answer. What if with your mortgage, with your credit cards, with your life debt, with student loans, with whatever you want, with family and all that, God is actually asking you to go somewhere else? But it's going to be a financial hardship to do that. This is where you have to balance what God wants you to do and where you're at. What does he want you to do? We struggle with this all the time because every time we make more money, what do? Spend more. You know, you go back 10 years, and if you've increased your salary or anything like that, could you go back and live on that? Right? You could, but not with what you've done. You start living either in your means, like how much you make, or you live above it because you can afford a little bit more, right? So contentment and happiness, they're tied together, but it's always tied together when it comes to what God has planned for us. So if God is asking you to leave your job, then you have to figure out how you're going to do that. But what if God is telling you to stay there? Even though you don't like your job, you're not happy. Or wherever you are, whatever, it's whether it's a job, school, whatever that is, you're not happy with your situation. What if God is actually telling you to stay there in the midst of not liking it? Can you be content and can you be happy in that situation when you don't like it, when you come home every day, not happy, not happy, not happy? Well, there's a mindset we need to change and we need to do that. We need to have a balance with contentment and what we have or where we are and wealth and gain, with happiness and biblical accuracy. Because as you see, the world sees it one way and the Bible describes it differently. What it becomes is an issue of your theology. It becomes an issue of, are you in the Word? Are you opening up this Word, seeking the kingdom of God right here? Are you opening this up, asking God, hey, what should I do? Where should I go? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Because when we're actively seeking the kingdom of God, which you'll see it all through Scripture, it means we're following Christ. We're learning, we're growing, we're trying to be better. And so it becomes a biblical issue. And so God didn't promise us wealth. That's not his main promise. His main promise is not that, or a blessing. We like to Christianize things and say, well, you know, I'm making more money, or God has blessed me with this new item, this material thing. That's not what he's saying. Now, can you be blessed with those things? Of course, you can. And we need to be thankful for that. But it's when material things start taking over our lives. It's when material things come before what God wants. The blessings that God gives in Scripture are mostly about relationships. Relationships with him and relationships with others. People that we are in cahoots with, people that we hang out with, our family, our friends, but also his relationship that we have. Are we working on that as much as else? And so let's talk about blessings for a little minute here. This is the definition of blessings. There's a few here that explain what a blessing is. It can be the act or words of a person who blesses. So somebody says, hey, blessings on you, that kind of thing. A special favor, mercy, or benefit. I might say that mercy is also a blessing, right? When God gives us a blessing, he's been merciful to us. Forgiveness is a blessing. Grace is a blessing. Love is a blessing. But how can I buy a car with that? I can't buy a car with blessings, with love and grace and mercy and especially forgiveness. That's got no value. Does it? Well, it does in our relationships. It can be something that God has given to us, right? Whatever that is. And again, it doesn't have to be material. We got to stop thinking materialistically because guess what? You're born with nothing, you leave with nothing. So how can material possessions be the most important thing? When we're building relationships, if truly Scripture is what it says it is, and we spend eternity with God, then guess what? What you do here, building relationships, that's what you take with you. You also leave that. You leave that. All right? There are times in Scripture and even times in our own lives where God brings favor upon us. And again, there's that word, favor, blessing. When we see favor, we think, yeah, money. He's blessing me with power and things. No. That's not what he's talking about. But he can give you favor in different ways. But we don't sum it up. If you watch TV, you'll see a lot of TV preachers saying, oh man, I pray the favor of God upon you. But what they're actually talking about in most cases is prosperity theology, where if you do something, you get something, right? And you also can demand God to give you things. Where, you know, you go into all sorts of weird stuff. I don't know if you've ever heard of The Secret. How many here have heard of The Secret? Yeah. So it basically says you got to send out these positive waves. And the universe, because what they've done is everything around us is in waves, right? Sound waves, air waves, light waves, it's all in that. So what they've done is they've taken this and said, your mind. Now, there's a whole bunch of electrical currents running through our body, actual electrical currents, okay? And what they're saying is when these things, when your brain starts throwing out these electrical wave currents out into the universe has no choice but to correct itself. And when you throw your waves out, this is simplifying it, people, but save yourself the money and the time. Don't watch the movie. It's a dumb movie. It's horribly done. And don't read the book because it's insulting to your intelligence. But you're throwing these waves out there, and the world has to readjust. So let's make it something simple, like a bicycle. If I want a bicycle, I have to throw these waves out. This is legit. I can't make this up because my brain doesn't go there. You throw these waves out, and because the world is made of waves and the universe is made of waves, what it does is it has to realign itself. And you got to positively think it, you got to speak it, you got to do everything, you got to go for it. And as long as you keep doing it, that bike will appear. It has to, according to their logic. We don't command anything. What you do command is how you respond to people and how you treat people. That's it. Nothing else. So how you respond to God, how you respond to people. So you can think positive, and that's fine. But to think that if you throw it out there and want a material possession and throw your waves, that's all I can. I just keep thinking, here's a wave, and there's another wave, and I'll just... Have you ever tried to blow someone up with your mind? It's not working right now. Sorry. I don't have the power. It's silly talk. I'm telling you right now, blessings, you can't force them. You can be a blessing to somebody else. You can be good to somebody else. You can help someone else out, but you don't demand it. And so there's favor. Blessings can be praise, devotion, worship. Grace, we say grace before a meal. We say a blessing. Thank you, God, for this food that we are here. We're going to do that after the service, and we're actually going to have communion. And we're going to do that together. That's a blessing. And then we give approval, good wishes. That's what a blessing is. Okay, so we get too caught up in its material possessions, but there are many things that blessings can be. And so here's the scripture I want to look at today, and I've highlighted a few things for you. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And here's what I want to focus on with verse 10 for a little bit. Have you ever heard the term money is the root of all evil? You've heard that? Well, it's not the root of all evil. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's not the root. It's not the only root. It's a root of not every evil, but all kinds, all sorts of evil. And then it says, some people eager for money, having wandered from the faith. Now, why would that be so important? wander from the faith. What have they done? They've put something in front of their relationship with God. What is it? It's one of those all kinds of, it's money. That's what it is. And pierce themselves with many griefs. Why? Because that's what they focus on. Because that's not true happiness. That's not true contentment. That's why godliness with contentment is great gain. We could take that scripture, and if we wanted to be a bad theologian, we would say, oh, so if I'm content, God's going to give me more. Well, that's the opposite of being content. You're not doing something to get something. You're doing it, you're being content because God has provided for you, because you're seeking the kingdom of God first. And so realize that money is not the root of all evil. It's the root, it's a root of all kinds of evil, different ones. And it makes you do silly things because you're focused on the wrong thing. Now, we talked about blessing a little bit. Blessings and money are a two-sided coin. I have a two-sided coin here. And on one side of my coin, you know, it's got a firefighter symbol. It's pretty neat. And then on the other side, it's got a Canadian flag with a Maltese cross. Money is like this. On one side, it can do real good. You can use it to further the kingdom, you can use it to help others, you can use it to reach the poor, you can do all sorts of stuff with it. We kind of have to use it. We're in this place. But on the other side is where we go wrong. It can also be bad. We can have lots of money and we can put it in the wrong spot. You see, in life, we have choices to make and we can be content and we can be happy, but if we're putting something else in front of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to struggle and we're going to wander from the faith. We're going to step aside. Not just money, though. If you're not happy with all sorts of things, forget money. If you're not happy with what's going on in your life, relationships, all that kind of stuff, your faith will struggle. And until you get to the point where you can be content with what you have and where you're at, you won't be truly happy because you're always trying to fill that void inside with something, whether it's money, relationships, or whatever. And so what was happening at Ephesus with this scripture? Because we don't want to talk about a scripture and not understand what was going on at the time. Well, there's lots of stuff. They had problems with false apostles. They were struggling against false doctrines all over the place. And like a whole bunch of other churches, the pastors had issues they had to deal with, and they had a whole bunch of young widows that were not trained enough to understand certain teachings, and so what they were doing is they were creating havoc within there, and they were prone to follow certain false teachings. And so they were struggling. And so what was the false problem? What was going on with all that kind of stuff? Well, men and women basically were teaching false doctrine in order to become rich. And those that were underneath that were speaking it out and saying, this is how we get rich. So there were a lot of teachers that believed it. Now, Ephesus was a main port city, so there's a lot of money coming in, money going out, a lot of rich people. And so because of that, the church felt like it was something that, not the whole church, but certain people in the church thought, we got to cash in on this. We got to cash in on this. And so there was problems there. And so because of these doctrines, many were focused on money over clothing, food, housing, their relationship with God, their relationship with others. So because of all these things, they would walk over everybody else to get power and to get money. And so that's why Paul writes to Timothy and tells him, hey, you know, this is what's going on. You need to address this. We need to address this. This has to be something that we deal with. And it shouldn't be too hard to deal with, but we need to nip it in the bud right now. Okay. So how do we balance our contentment, again, like we said earlier, with our wealth, with our gain, whatever that is, with what we have, and true happiness? Well, first, we need to prioritize. We need to prioritize. You need to think about, what have I put first in my life? What have I placed first in my life? Right now, Think about what you put before God. Is he a priority in your life? Or are you putting other people? Are you putting other things in that? Not only is it just with God, but it's also with our relationships. Where have we prioritized our relationships? Have we put them underneath work? Have we gone, okay, well, I'm good with God, but then money, then my family? Have we done that? If we've done that, we got to adjust. We have to prioritize because our relationships are important, more important than money. And I know it sounds like, you know, well, easy for you to say, you know, I have to try and figure out how I'm going to pay the bills. I have to figure out how I'm going to put gas in the car and all this kind of stuff. But we need to look at what we've prioritized. So today, when you go home, check out what your priorities are. And we're going to show you how to do that in just a little minute. Secondly, our motives. Are you gaining wealth and power just so you can gain wealth and power? Are you doing that so that you can be a big shot, a big deal? Or are you just trying to get ahead because you think it'll be better? And once I get there, remember earlier we talked about how, you know, we make this much 10 years ago, but now we make this much now, and we're still in the same spot. Right? We can't seem to get ahead of it because we keep increasing what we need from what we want. And so we need to understand that our motives, what are our motives for doing what we do? And when there's the balance of seeking the kingdom of God and understanding what he wants and where we are and being content and happy, there's a balance between that, our priorities, and our motives. And we have to adjust that. What is your motive for what you do? Well, I work so hard because I want to provide for my family. Well, that's fantastic. But are you missing birthdays? Are you missing events? Are you missing real experiences with your family because you're working too much? You have to prioritize what you do. So prioritize and your motive. You got to figure out what your motive is, why you do what you do. And thirdly, you need to focus. You need to focus on what your priorities and your motives are. Once you know those two things, you'll be able to focus on the eternal instead of the external. We tend to mix them up. They kind of sound the same. But when we're investing in the eternal, we're investing in people's lives. We're investing in people's future. We're investing in people's spiritual health. And that is where it's the most important. External things don't matter. It's about who we are putting our efforts into, not about some material possession. And so, as we look at all this, what do we do? Well, you're going to have to make a list. You're going to have to make a list of needs and wants. And it's a simple thing, and financial advisors will do this with you all the time. You have to make a needs and wants. And you need to put them in two different columns. And you actually have to do it. You can't just talk about it and say you might think about doing it. You can't just say, oh, well, maybe do it one day, or sit inside, you know, your head and try to make the columns up in your head. You have to actually put it down. And you have to say, this is what I need. Not how I feel, what I feel like that I need, but what I actually physically need. And then you have to go over to the want column and say, this is what I would like. This is what I want. And once we do that, we'll see, first of all, where our priorities are. We'll see what our motives are, because within our priorities, we'll know what our motives are. And then as we look at that, we have to go, okay, now how do we balance this out? How do we regain focus on what we're doing, on where we're going, on our relationship with God and our relationship with others? And when we invest in that, that's when we will have contentment. That's when we will have true happiness. It's not about what you own. It's not about what you have. It's not about how you dress. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about where are you investing. We had opportunities in the past with World Vision to invest in kids that are overseas that we can connect with. We have opportunities here where we can invest in kids and give them a lunch with our lunch program. Every day they get a fresh lunch. That is putting your priorities in the right spot. Not because we're doing it and we want your money, because We are focusing our attention on the needs. Jesus fed people. Then he spoke spiritually to them. Why? Because he knew that he had to feed them. Otherwise, they won't listen. How many have gone to the shopping center, to the store, like Superstore or whatever, Costco, and you didn't eat before you went? What's the difference between that bill and the one where you were full, you already ate, and you got there and you just shopped? I'll tell you what mine is. I am random. It is random. I'm delirious. I'm grabbing anything that looks like it'll taste good, as long as it's healthy, throwing it in there. And then I get home and I'm like, well, we can't make anything with all this. What is this? I don't even know what this is. But if we go prior and we eat, we actually get in there, we're focused, we look at other things, we get the stuff we want, and we're out of there. The bill is completely different because we're focused. Well, Jesus knew that when he's talking to people about spiritual things, he needs to feed them. And so when he did that, he's like, I'm going to fill a need. And that's why we do the lunch program. Not because we're going to magically go in there and start laying hands on people and lives are going to change. But I have to believe that as we fill the needs that God has given us, to tell us to fill, when we're doing and seeking the kingdom first, that we'll have those opportunities down the road, or someone will have that opportunity, because no one can learn spiritual things or where they are in life or what's going to happen in their future if they're starving. No one can. And it's the same as us going to the grocery store on an empty stomach. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And so I challenge you today as you leave, think about where your priorities are, think about what your motives are, and then focus on what you believe God is asking you to do, whatever that is, whatever that is. And then you have to make a plan and figure it out. Because here's the thing. When you seek first the kingdom of God, and you're looking to follow him, he's going to open the doors that need to be open for you to do what he's asked you to do, because he's asked you to do it. He's the one who's asked you to do it. You're not just bulldozing your way through to make things happen. We can do that. That's very doable. I've bulldozed. But I'm telling you right now, when you do exactly what God has asked you to do, all that stuff will sort itself out. You don't have to push, because God's the one doing the pushing. He's the one making it work. And so whatever he's asked you to do, think about that. And then make a plan on how that's going to work out. Maybe you're already there, and that's awesome. Stay there. Keep doing it. But prioritize. Make sure that we're investing in eternal things and not in the external. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you have provided a way for us to be truly content, to be truly happy. The only question is, will we listen? Will we look? Will we search? As we think about these things, I ask that your Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of everyone here, that they will be pushed in the direction that they need to be pushed, that you will open the doors that need to be opened, that you will give direction and peace, and that blessing of that you've got it under control. Let us have that peace. And so, Father, I lift everyone up here to you, and we're going to go to the communion table. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come forward. And as we think about how our relationship with God is, how we think about what he's done for us, this is what this will do this morning. As we go to the Lord's table, think about your relationship with him. Think about what you need to prioritize. Think about all of that. Everything that he's asked you to do, have you done it? Are you doing it? And will you do it?